like a copy of God's Word, the New Testament, in its entirety is offered to you quite freely here this afternoon in Newcastle. You'd like one, then do feel free to come and ask for one. It is God's Word. God has spoken, and of course, His Word is to be found nowhere else but in the Bible. Offered to you, as I say, without any cost or any obligation to you. If you'd like one, do feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place it into your hands. In reading God's Word, who knows, but maybe its purpose will be fulfilled in your heart and life. That is, of course, to instruct you in the way of righteousness. That is to bring you into a right standing with God. These things are written, the Bible says, that you might believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That is coming in connection with God's Word, made, of course, effective in the hearts and minds of men and women by the grace of God. And that you might know, that you might experience God's grace, salvation, that is, the forgiveness of your sins, and of course the assurance of God's favor, and of course in that day that comes to us all when we breathe our last, that you might know, have the assurance of being with God in heaven for all eternity. If you'd like a copy of God's Word, then do feel free, please, to come and ask for one. In the Bible, we have the Old Testament of the Bible, and of course, weaved throughout all its pages, we have what's called the commandments of God. Perhaps you've heard the Ten Commandments, maybe many times before, perhaps maybe never. That's why I offer you a copy of God's Word, that you might read for yourself and be instructed in these matters. It's important that you know what God's Word says, and of course what God, your Creator, what He requires of you. First one, of course, tells us, "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me." Those commandments, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, well, the sum of them is that you should love God and love your neighbor. And of course, it's because we have not fulfilled, kept those commandments, not loved our neighbor, not loved God. Of course, one goes with the other. If you don't love God, then it's a certain fact you won't love your neighbor. You may have noticed that in spite of all the modern inventions, all the talk about science, it doesn't seem to make people any better, any more loving, any more forgiving, any kinder to their neighbor. We still go about killing and slaughtering one another. But of course, well, the root of that is because we have no love for the one who made us, and the one who made our neighbor in His own image. All men are made in the image of God, the Bible says. But of course, well, that image is spoiled, destroyed, marked by sin. And another reason, of course, well, why you need to be rectified, that is, why you need to be made right with God. Only then, of course, will you fulfill the commandments of God, or seek to do so, that is, by loving your neighbor also. And then, of course, well, the second commandment forbids idolatry. And then it goes on to talk about abusing God's name. You know, cussing in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the only true God manifest in the flesh. And of course, when you get excited or distressed, oh my God, the one you say doesn't exist, all of a sudden, because you're excited or because you're distressed, all of a sudden he comes into being and you cry out to him. But of course, in blasphemy, not in faith, not in love, but friends, taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I say thy God, your God, your God by dint of the fact that he made you, and as a result of that, he has a rightful and sovereign claim upon you, and every right to demand of you how you should conduct yourself in his world. As you breathe his air, eat his food, drink his water, enjoy all the good things that God, your Maker, has given to you. So maybe perhaps you begin to see the reason for these commandments. That is to bring you to an understanding of how it is that you're contrary to God, how it is that you're far, far away from God. That's the reason, one of the reasons at least anyway, not the sole one, that those commandments were given to you. Not to bring you to rightness with God, but to teach you, as a schoolmaster, to instruct you as to what kind of a rotten sinner you are, how far away you are from God. And of course, as you hear those commandments...
Who's a rotten sinner?
You.
Me?
You.
Me?
Everybody.
Why?
You, her, everybody,
why
myself. Because you've broken God's law. Because you were born in sin, conceived in sin. That's why you hate God, and that's why you hate your fellow human being.
So we're all rotten sinners?
Yep, every one of us.
Well, I can't have a name like that, is it really? You can't just say that.
Why? Of course you can't.
You can't say we're all rotten sinners.
Well, that's what God says. I'm only telling you what he says.
How do you know what he says?
It's not my indictment, it's God's.
How do you know what God
created the world?
So in here he says, God says we're all...
vile sinners. So the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. It says you were born in sin, you were conceived in sin.
I think you're just rude to
be fair. Yeah, okay, well, maybe it's God you think is grew rude, eh? But you see, that shows your heart, sir. Out of the abundance of the heart, young man, the mouth speaks. Get right with God, repent and believe the gospel, young man. While you have the time, the breath of life in you.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Have you seen Ronald Pogney? Him and the lag?
Oh, the disabled guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, not for a long time.
Lost contact with him.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a long, long time. I love the guy. Lovely guy.
He used to phone all the time, but just lately he's not phoning at all.
Right.
So I don't know if anything's...
If you do come in touch with them, a lovely guy. I love them very much.
Man, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was back.
He got me into being a Christian.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Good, good.
He used to go to church next to Bethel.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. He was baptized. I was a church officer there baptized. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Ronald.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, say hello to him.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. God bless you.
Okay.
Yeah, so these commandments are given to us, you know, not to rectify us, to put us right with God. Those commandments are given to us as a schoolmaster, you know, to instruct us as to just how far away it is we are from God. A million trillion miles, an eternity away from God. And of course, to bring us to that conviction that we have broken every single one of them. And of course we do so. Why? Well, because like I was just telling the young man, you know, it's not just that we break God's law, his commandments. It's our very natures, you see. We're born, we're conceived in sin. And we come into the world, you see, shapen in iniquity, the Bible says. In rebellion. In rebellion against the authority of God, the commandments of God. And that's why, you see, you need my Savior. That's why you need my gospel. You need the commandments to bring you to a knowledge of your sin. And you need Jesus, the one the commandments point you to, in order that you might be saved through him. Because you can only be saved through Jesus, trusting in him. The one who died for sinners, for lawbreakers. The one, of course, who... who died for a vile sinner. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, gave Him up to the death on the cross, that through His death that you might be reconciled to God, and through His resurrection that you might have eternal life. That's the reason. That's why we were given these 10 commandments. But then the next commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Here's a question for you. How do you spend your Sundays? God has given us one day in all the seven, a day of rest. But of course, not just to rest our bones, not just to rest our bodies, but to rest in God and to rest in what He has done, accomplished through His Son, Jesus Christ, the salvation of God. But of course, that Sunday was not given to you in order that you might chase a ball about a park or watch 22 other men doing the same, but that you might remember, that is, not forget, to keep the Sabbath day holy, a day spent for God. But of course, the decline, the degeneration in your nation, you might not be aware of this, but it started a long time back. It didn't start with same-sex marriage. It didn't start with transgenderism. It didn't start with the explosion of fornication. It started with Sabbath breaking. It started many years ago when the nation decided in its own worldly wisdom that it wouldn't keep the Sabbath day anymore. The sport and entertainment was to be the norm. The shops would be open. 6 days a week wasn't enough, you know, for getting gain and, of course, spending all your legitimate or ill-gotten gains. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It was when, as a nation, we began to wholesalely desecrate the Sabbath day. That's what began the decline in your nation. And now, of course, it's just utter lawlessness on your streets, in your homes, and everywhere. So God commands you. Oh, you might say, well, that's old hat, that's old-fashioned. No, friends, it's bang up to date, on God's agenda at least anyway. No, it just shows, if that's your attitude, if that's what you think concerning God's holy day, well, again, it just shows you how far away you are from God, from the mind of God. And of course, well, you know, His opinion, God's command, you see, His authority is much, much more important than yours. It matters not what the state says. It matters not what the education system says. It matters not what science says. It's what God says, because this is the supreme, this is the ultimate authority. This is the standard by which you will be judged on the day of judgment. Not what the state says, not what science says, not what the education system says, not what you say, not what your family say, but what God says in His Word. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So I ask you, what were you doing last Sunday? Honoring God? Keeping the Sabbath day holy? Or were you sinning? Were you sinning? Because you see, this is part of God's moral code. It's a moral commandment that God has placed upon you, and whether you be religious or not, and whatever you think of the command or not, it's binding upon the entirety of humanity, and God will hold you to account for your transgression of this commandment along with all the others. You see, God rested on the seventh day after His work of creation, and He requires you also to rest on the Sabbath day. A day of holiness, a day you see when your soul as well as your body might be refreshed, that you might take time out for the things of God, to learn of God, to learn what it is that God requires of you, and maybe perhaps for you to learn how far, far away you are from God, and how you can get near to God by the hearing of the gospel, in other words, the good news that God has sent His Son into the world to die and rise again from the dead for lawbreakers. Sin, you see, is transgression of the law, the breaking, the disregard of, the neglect of, and the rejection of God's commandments. Even this one, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But of course, if you neglect also the church of God, the word of God, what God has spoken in His word, how will you ever be instructed? Even the most wicked of you need to be instructed. You need to know about these things in order that God might be vindicated in that day when He judges you in righteousness by His Son, Jesus Christ. So I come to tell you, I come to inform you, I come to enlighten you of these things. So that on that day, you will have no excuse. You will not point the finger at me and say, well, He never told us. Oh, I've told you long enough, and as long as I have a breath in my body, I will continue to tell you here in Newcastle. Not in order that you might be judged, that's not my desire, but in order that you might be saved. That's the desire of my heart. You're my neighbor, and God tells me I'm to love my neighbor. So in love for you, my neighbor, I come to tell you these things in order that you might come to understand the kind of sinner you are, how far you are from God, and in order that you might be saved, that you might come to know the love of God. Freedom from the condemnation of God's law that condemns you to a man, to a woman. Guilty. Guilty, every single man, woman, and child of you. Have you not? Yeah, have you repented yet? Have you repented yet?
What's that mean?
Change your mind. Change your heart.
I've just thought of a nice question to ask you, right?
Go on.
If God created...
Stand where I can see you. Talk to me.
If God created the world, right?
Yes.
Who created God?
Nobody. God always was, always is, and always shall be, is eternal. Before the mountains were brought forth, God was.
So how can one man create the whole world?
He's not a man.
What is he
then? Huh? He's God.
What does he look like?
Don't you know nothing, man? Don't you know nothing?
Nothing.
Were you brought up in utter godlessness altogether? Well, have you never heard of these things?
I could be God, you never know.
Pardon?
I could. Someone like me could be
God. No, I don't think so, Sam. I don't think so.
My last name's Chase.
Not. I mean, God wouldn't be addicted to something like that, would he? You haven't even got the strength. You haven't even got the power to say no to that.
I know.
Huh?
Ridiculous.
Power? No. No, you need God. You need God. You need
God
Jesus Christ. Jesus. God.
Jesus. Jesus was God's Son.
Pardon? Yeah. He's God the Son.
Oh, you fucking broke my
arm. He's got the Son. Why?
No, He is God the Son.
God the Son?
Yes.
So who's Jesus?
God.
No, Jesus is His Son.
Yes.
So
God exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Also, you have been you've been around the Pope, have you?
Huh?
You've been around the Pope?
Yeah.
You brought up a Catholic?
Yeah,
how were you brought up? Godlessness?
I'm a Christian.
No, you're not.
I am?
No, you're not.
I'm a Christian.
You're a blasphemer.
Huh?
That's blasphemy.
My last name is Church.
That's blasphemy.
My last name is Church.
Yeah. Go on, have a good day, eh? Get a hold of a Bible somewhere and read it.
Have you a Bible?
Get yourself educated. No, definitely not.
Get yourself out of that cult.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
Why not?
Huh?
Why not?
Because if I had the slightest inclination that you were at all serious, I would gladly give you one.
Yeah.
But I don't believe you.
Yeah.
Have a good day, eh? Like
so
I say, friends.
So what happens when you die?
You go to hell if you don't repent and believe the gospel.
So where are you going to go?
Pardon?
Are you
I'm going to heaven.
I'm going to go to heaven.
So where do you think, like, do you think you come back alive as a son?
You've got to be born again. What?
That's reincarnation.
Yeah, so you don't come back at all.
Am I going to go to hell?
It's heaven or hell, one of the two.
Yeah. Or you get born again.
You die, and you meet God face to face, yeah? The God that you always knew existed, yeah? And he will dispense you to a lost eternity if you have not believed in Jesus. And he will dispense you to heaven if you have.
That's like Christmas if you believe. Who's Santa? No. Where did Santa come from?
There's no such a thing as Christmas, and there's no such a thing as Santa.
Oh, you would believe
that rubbish before you would believe the truth.
Yeah, but people who don't believe in Jesus celebrate Christmas.
Fun.
People who don't believe in Jesus and all that celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, that's because it gratifies the flesh.
They're
a figment of your imagination.
Yeah, they are. They're imagination.
It's a heathen religion of the flesh. Man-made religion.
Yeah, but they can think that about God. Everyone's got their own opinion, haven't they?
Yeah, that's right. But I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm giving you God's word.
Yeah, but it's still your opinion at the end of the day.
No, it's God's opinion.
God's opinion.
Pardon?
Have you spoken to God?
Every day.
What did he say to you?
All the time. That's what he says to me.
Hey, that's a book?
Yeah, that's God's word. That's how God speaks.
Did God write that?
Yes.
But how could he write?
Every word of it inspired of God. Every word of it God breathed out. It's God's word.
Did they have a photocopy machine by that?
Did you have a
photocopy? No. We're being foolish now. I think maybe you should move on, eh? You're being foolish now. Have you got a serious question? Do you not care about your soul? Do you not care about what's got... I was preaching in Nottingham yesterday, and you're right behind me. There was a guy I gave a leaflet to, and he dropped down on the floor. I don't know if he's dead, you know, but he just dropped down on the floor. A young guy just about your age, yeah? You could go from this marketplace, yeah? And God could strike you down any time he wants, yeah? A heart attack, some disease. You could be gone in a nanosecond, and you're before God, young man. I know you don't believe. I know you're mocking me. Understand that. I get it all the time. It doesn't disturb me. It doesn't offend me. My care is for your soul. So you're going to stand before God,
and
you're going to give account to God. I plead with you to repent and believe the gospel. Get a Bible and inform yourself. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Have a nice day, guys. Have a nice day. Yeah. See ya. So, like I say, it's good to talk. You know, but I say, friends, you know, it's the word of God. It's not my opinion. Not here for that at all. So I stand before you with an open Bible. You know, so you understand, you know, my opinion is no more valid than yours. That's not what it's about. It's God's words, God's commands, what God says. That's all that matters, because it's by this standard that God is going to judge you when you breathe your last, when you go out of this world. It's appointed unto men once to die. After that, God says, comes the judgment. So I was asking you before I was interrupted, what were you doing on Sunday? Are you sinning? 24 hours of more sin? Don't you get enough sin? 6 days a week, 24/6? Do you have to spend God's day, the Sabbath day, sinning as well? In thought, in word, and in deed? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That day was given to you for your benefit, not to inhibit you, not to obstruct you, but in order that you might be instructed in the way of righteousness, that you might learn of God, that you might learn of his loving kindness, his great mercy in giving you a Savior, Jesus Christ, made of a woman, made under the law, and paying the penalty of the law, that through faith in his name, that you might be saved. It's God's day. It's not business as usual. Is there not enough in 6 days to be selling, you know, and making money? No wonder this generation is always talking about being stressed out. No time for rest, no time for bodily rest, and no time for spiritual rest. Ah, dear friends, the day was given to you for your benefit, your spiritual and your eternal benefit. Because the result is of your breaking God's commandments is that God will bring you to judgment. This commandment along with all the others. But friends, rest is assured for men and women. Huh? Through the gospel, the good news of God's Son, Jesus Christ, that you might find rest in God. Peace with God and the peace of God. But you cannot have the peace of God that fills the hearts and minds of men and women until you have peace with God. How can there be rest in your souls? How can there be rest in your hearts? How can there be rest in your homes? How can there be rest in your family? As long as you're at war with God, carnal mind is at enmity against God. Hostile to God, says the Bible. Friends, there can never be peace in your world. Mr. Trump may make peace with North Korea today, and wonderful and good that is, but I tell you, there can never be peace in your world. Never be peace in humanity. Never be peace in your own hearts and homes until you make peace with God. So how does a person get peace with God? How is this rest? How is it assured? Well, through the gospel, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son shed on the cross, that men and women, that their sins might be atoned for, that you might be washed in the blood of the Lamb, that God's Lamb might take away your sin, and that you might have peace with God, and that you might know the peace of God that passes all understanding. But no peace of God until you make peace with God. Then you'll know that rest that Jesus bids you come for. Come unto me and I will give you rest, he says. Rest for your souls. Peace with God. Reconciliation with God. Oh, I beseech you on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God, friends, today. And bring an end of your Sabbath breaking. Bring an end of your lawlessness. Your sinful spending of God's day, of all your days and all your nights. Sin never ends. Wall to wall sin, 24/7, friends. Until that is, peace has been made with God. Until your sin has been dealt with by the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, that day is given to you. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, that you might celebrate the freedom that's to be found in Jesus Christ. Oh, you say, I'm a free man, a free woman. A woman at an abortion clinic this morning in Manchester is telling me, you know, how God's given me a free choice. No, friends, not for killing infants, not for slaughtering the unborn he hasn't. His commandment is, thou shalt not kill. People tell me they have free choice, free will. Do you? Well, if you're that free, if you have freedom of will and choice, tell me, why don't you choose to walk away from your sin? Why don't you walk away from all your troubles and heartaches? Why don't you walk away from the cause of all your troubles and heartaches? Because you're not free at all. Because we, every one of us, we're born into slavery. Slavery to sin. Sin is your master. It cracks the whip. It makes the demands. And you have to obey it because you are a slave to sin. You're mastered by it. Until Jesus Christ sets you free. But only Christ can set you free. There is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Trusting in Christ Jesus. Trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ. In the work of Jesus Christ. Faith, trusting in Jesus Christ. His person and His work alone brings freedom to men and women. and peace for their souls. Remember the Sabbath day, a day given to you to celebrate that freedom, to rejoice in the freedom that Christ can bring to you, and Christ alone. Not religion, friends, a person, Jesus. This is not found in religion. We're not preaching religion. You won't get this. You won't get freedom in your world religions. You won't get freedom in Islam. Just more bondage. You won't get freedom in Rome's morality. Just more bondage. Watch religion. Do, do, do. And you will get the favor of God. Well, God says in His Word, the Bible, be assured. He says that no one will ever get favor with God by their own doing. Only through faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, apart from any works of yours or mine, religious or otherwise. Faith alone in Christ alone brings the freedom from sin, freedom from the condemnation, and friends, the peace of God that passes all understanding. But friends, that day, the Sabbath day, is given to you, not for recreational purposes, not to be chasing a ball about a park, not for shopping till you drop in. Friends, it's a day given to men and women, you know, to cure the workaholics, you know, those that just can never stop working. Here's the cure for you. Take a day out, God's day. Rest from your labors. And of course, not just you too, but your employees too, if you have any. And those of your household. It's a family business. Fathers and mothers are to command their children, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But maybe, perhaps, you don't have the authority for that. Why? Well, you're a commandment breaker yourself. You're a lawless person yourself. If you don't obey God, how can you expect your children and your grandchildren to obey you? The anti-authoritarianism, you see, that fills your land, your nation today, your families, your homes, against government, against courts, against police, against all authority, the education system. Friends, it reeks. And why? Well, because of the attitude of men and women, grandparents and parents alike, their attitude towards God, His authority and His commandments. So the day that God has given to you, apart from all the others, the Sabbath day, remember to keep it holy, says God, because it is God, and He bids you to do His pleasure, not yours. It's a day not for your pleasure, not to do the things that please you, but to do the things that please God. And what is it that pleases God more than anything else? Faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, that through Him that the world might be saved. But you cannot please God without faith. That's the starting place. Unless you believe, it does not matter what you do. You say, well, I'll keep the commandment. I'll go to church. I'll read a Bible. I'll do this, that, and the other. Well, good things may be. But friends, without faith, it is impossible, utterly impossible to please God. Faith that is towards His Son, Jesus Christ, born of a woman, made under the law, and paid the penalty of the law. Friends, the favor of God, pleasure of God, this is the work of God, says Jesus, that you believe in the one whom He has sent, His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the starting point. That's the primary. It's only when you've believed, it's only when you've trusted, it's only when you've been reborn, born again of God's Spirit, made a new creature in Jesus Christ, which God alone can do, and give you the gift of faith, the gift of repentance. It's only then that you, when you obey the gospel of God's Son, Jesus Christ, it's only then that you're ready to move on. and strive to keep the commandments of God, including this one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But friends, you can rebel against the commandment just like all the other commandments. But I tell you, it seeks only to harden your heart. Hard as your hearts be now, perhaps you think maybe they could not be any harder towards God. But I tell you, every rejection of and every breach, deliberate or otherwise, of the commandments of God, it hardens the hearts of men and women. And of course, the older you get, the worse it gets. The more cynical, the more unbelieving you become. Perhaps maybe that's why there's not many elderly. Some, but not many elderly get saved, get right with God. Why? Because of years and years of cynicism and unbelief. Maybe why God says, you know, in your youth, remember your Creator before such times set in, before you become so hardened. But you hear God's commandments, you hear God's word, you hear the gospel declared, and you reject and you rebel and you carry on in your own waywardness. Well, all you do is harden yourself more and more. And some get to the point where they're beyond redemption. They become utterly reprobate in their mind, given over to such by God. You see, friends, you reject God, you reject His love, you reject His power, you reject His salvation, you reject His Son. God says, in effect, okay, you don't want me, you don't want my stuff, I'll open the gate. He gives you a shove through and He says, okay, I'll give you over to another power. I'll give you over to the power of self. Yeah. And that's the worst. That's the worst, I tell. That's the most tragic thing that can happen to any human being on this planet. For God to give you over to the power of yourself, to what you want. That's the very essence of sin. The central letter of the word sin is the letter I, me. What?
How do you know? You've done it before.
Bible. God's word.
Book.
God's word, sir. God has spoken. Gives you over, you see, to the power of self. And that's the worst thing that can happen to you. God to open that door and shove you through and give you over to a reprobate mind. Hardened in sin. Beyond repair. Beyond redemption. Oh, friends, while you have the time, while you have the faculties, while you have the opportunity of hearing, yes, the law of God, the commandment of God, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. As long as you hear the gospel of God, the pleadings of God, as surely as I live, saith the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they should turn. There's mercy with God. Why will ye die, he says, when there's eternal life, eternal love to be had through the Savior, through Jesus Christ, the one who has saved you, is the one who commands you. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, lest you be hardened to that point where there's no return. Oh, I urge you to get a Bible for yourself. Check these things out. See for yourself. See who and what God is and what it is that He requires of you. This is the Almighty. This is your Maker. This is the one who made you in the beginning. No, you are not hatched out in some primordial sludge. You're not a piece of chemical fizz. You're a man, you're a woman made in the image of God. And because God made you, He has every right to command you. He's your lawgiver, and He's your judge, and He is judging the very thoughts and intents of your hearts, even this moment. But one day will bring you to full and final judgment. But today He would be your Redeemer. He would be your Savior through Jesus Christ, His Son. You could be rectified, that is, you could be right with God, justified before God. Not by any work of yours, not by any commandment keeping, not by keeping the Sabbath day, But friends, by trusting, believing in God's Son, Jesus Christ, that alone credits anyone with righteousness before God. It's a change of heart that you need. Change of heart, friends. A new heart's what you need. The heart is diseased, friends, deceitful and desperately wicked, says God. All of us, to a man, to a woman, born, conceived in sin, sinners by nature and sinners by practice, that nature must be changed supernaturally, powerfully by God. The life of God in your soul is what you need, and the love of God in your heart is what you need. Only Jesus Christ can give you this. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Everlasting life through Jesus Christ, whom I preach to you here today. Change of heart is what you need. Change of your ways. Instead of walking in your way, in God's way. What's God's way, you say? Let the wicked forsake his way, his pattern of living, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It's the thinking, it's the heart that's the problem. Change the heart, change the mind. That's what the Bible means by repentance. And align your thoughts with God's thoughts, agreeing with God's thoughts in His Word revealed. Then your ways change. So what is the way of God? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the one that you need to walk with Him, to follow Him. Take up your cross day by day and follow Jesus Christ, to come after Him. Change of heart, change of your ways, will change your destiny. Because it's heaven or hell. Young person asked the question a few minutes ago. Happens when you die. You meet God, that's what happens. You meet God. You stand before the God whom you always knew existed. When a child is born, before it knows anything, it knows that God is. Friends, you know that God is. It's manifest in you. It's been shown unto you. You even clearly understand that God is. But you hold that truth in unrighteousness. You hold it down in unrighteousness. You suppress it in unrighteousness. It's not an intellectual problem, friends. It's a heart problem. It's a sin problem. It's a poisoned, it's a diseased heart problem. The heart must be changed. The ways must be changed. And then the destiny will be changed. You meet God, and God will dispense with you. He will deal with you according to what you have done or not done with His Son, Jesus Christ. You do not believe the gospel. You reject the gospel. You reject the good news. You reject the loving overtures of God. Well, then your destiny is everlasting damnation. You believe the gospel. You embrace the Son of God. You trust in the Son of God, in His person, in His work, His death and resurrection. And heaven is yours. Your destiny. But your destiny will be determined not by you. Your destiny is not, you see, I do it my way. Huh? I did it my way. Isn't that your favorite death song these days? He did it His way. Well, you do it your way, and hell is your end, is your destiny. Your destiny is not in your own hands. It's in the hands of a sovereign God. Sovereign God, who totally commands you in all His commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, and bow down and worship the same. Idolatrous, filthy religion. God hates idolatry. He will have Himself alone, the true and living God, the God of the Holy Bible, the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ. He will have Himself alone to be worshipped. You go contrary to God's commandment, you're guilty, condemned. and everlasting eternally. Friends, unless you repent and believe the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. So friends, the words, the King's command himself, repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. And you can only inherit that kingdom, enter that kingdom in the way of repentance and faith towards Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news, friends. So repent ye and believe the gospel, Newcastle. Repent ye and believe the gospel, trust in God's word.